Galatians chapter 5, I want to talk to you about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, we fundamentalists, Bible believers, are a lot of times we're accused of being mean, hard, legalistic people. We're not. If you knew me, people go out here and say, that's a mean preacher. But if they knew me, they wouldn't think that. It's the reason is they've never heard the Bible, and the Bible condemns what they're doing. They think that's me. I'm not the one doing it. But we're known as that, as hard, mean, legalistic. We're not. But as Bible believers, we recognize all the Scriptures to be infallible, inerrant, and inspired by the Holy Ghost. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the Bible has law and grace. The law says, do this, and you're guilty. Grace says, but if you are guilty, I can fix that. But all they hear from us is law, because they turn us off whenever. But you got to have the law in order to know you're a sinner.
Come on now.
And then, so we give them the law to help them see, and then once they get enlightened and they see they're a sinner, they run away before we can give them the grace of God. And so, the Holy Spirit inspires both. The modern day preacher never talks about law. They only talk about grace. So tonight, I want to show you, point out the fruits of the Spirit, and I probably won't finish tonight. But before you can see the fruits of the Spirit, you need to see what the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit is, which is the fruit of the flesh. So in Galatians chapter 5, and I'm sure I won't finish it, but start with verse 14, if you will. There in verse 14, he says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love, there's that word, thy neighbor as thyself. Now, that'll fulfill the law. If you love me, Ron, you're not going to hurt me.
Right.
If you love me, you're not going to steal from me. You're not going to covet what I have. That'll fulfill all the Ten Commandments if you love. But anyway, he goes on to say, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Now, he's writing to Christians. These are believers he's writing to. Some of you have been in churches like this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, that's capital, that's the Holy Spirit, walk, live in the Spirit, do your daily life with the Spirit of God guiding you. He said, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, what's the lust of the flesh? I'm glad you asked that. He says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. In other words, the flesh wants something that the Spirit is contrary to. Lust is against the Spirit, see. And the Spirit against the flesh. The Spirit doesn't agree with our flesh. We have as believers, we have a split personality. We've got that old flesh we carry around, and now we've got the Holy Spirit of God living in us, which regenerated our old dead spirit, and our new spirit is having a conversation with the old spirit all the time. And fellow said, well, which one wins? Whichever one you feed the most. See?
Right, yeah.
For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. If you're constantly arguing with yourself over what is right and what is wrong and what is good and what is bad, listen, you only got that figured out a long time ago. But we've got Christians that are constantly in battle with themselves and their own spirit, because the Holy Spirit has showed them good, and now the flesh is impressing their spirit that good is bad and bad is good. So they're constantly on the inside, they're in turmoil. Look, I got some things settled a long time ago, and I never, my flesh and my spirit never argues over some things. Number one, the Bible's the inspired, infallible Word of God. The Bible says it, that settles it. It doesn't matter what Dr. Doolittle said or Dr. High Pockets. Hey, whatever the Bible says, that's it. The Bible was here before they got here, and it'll be here when they're dead and gone. Matter of fact, they'll be judged by that book that they criticize. So I got it settled. The Bible is the Word. That's the book that I found out that taught me I was a sinner. That's the book that taught me about Jesus and how to be saved. That's the book that taught me how to have victory over sin and live an abundant Christian life. The Bible's the Word of God.
Amen.
You need to get that settled. Go ahead and get that settled. Did God write a book? And you could say, yes, He did. And just get that settled. You don't ever have to deal with that again.
Right.
Hey, if He didn't, you're in danger because that's the book you got saved out of.
Amen.
If some of the other parts ain't true, how do you know that part's true? So you take it all by faith. You say, I don't understand it. Join the club. There's a lot of things that all of us don't understand. When you were 3 years old, you didn't understand how the automobile worked, but you sure liked riding one. So by faith, you got in the car with your mom and daddy and rode. Amen? So get some things settled. Jesus is the Savior. There's none other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. There's no other gate. There's no other way. There's no other door. He's it or there ain't one. Just get that settled. What do you think about Mormons? I don't. What do you think about Jehovah's Witness? I don't. What do you think of Muslims? I don't. Unless they're carrying a gun. But, I got this thing settled a long time ago. Amen? Now, that's what he's saying. Get these things settled, and you won't be warring all the time in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit. Get over that. Get something. Are you saved? Get that settled. Once you get that settled, well, how'd you get saved? Well, faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. Well, then the Bible's the Word of God. You got that settled. Amen? God loves you. He wouldn't have sent His Son die in your place. You got that settled. See, and so that's what he's talking about. There's some things we got to get them settled. There's right, there's wrong. There's war in the flesh against the spirit against the flesh. And if you stay in that war, you can do nothing, he said, because you can't do anything in the flesh. Just sit. That's why we got so many that sit and soak. They can't do anything for God. Now, look at, where did I leave on? There, okay, verse 18. But if you be led by the what?
Spirit.
That's the Holy Spirit. Ye are not under the what?
Wow.
Y'all, good class. You know that. I like y'all. Amen. And I'm from Lancaster. I can read and write that. Amen. We went to school. We learned reading, writing, and arithmetic. Amen. And so, if I am following the Spirit of God, how am I going to do that? Through the Word of God. If I'm following Him, then the law does not even apply to me anymore because, see, He's given me victory over the law. The law condemned me. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And the Holy Spirit comes in and says, well, Jesus paid for it. And now you don't have to worry about thou shalt not. So let's worry about what thou shalt. Shalt thou be led by me? Are you going to listen to me? Are you going to listen to the Word of God? If you're doing that, then you're not warring against the Spirit. Now you're following the Spirit, and you don't even need the law. The law taught you you were a sinner, and now the Spirit's leading you into a different life. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
Is that real complicated?
Nope.
He's from California. If he can understand it, anybody can. Amen.
Amen.
Amen right there. We got some people from West Virginia here too, so don't get too loud. But he said, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Well, preach, what are you talking about? Wrong things. Works of the flesh. What does the flesh want? The flesh is always wrong, okay? Always. It's never right because it lusts against the Spirit. If you're doing what the flesh wants you to do, you can just about write it down, take it to the bank, you're wrong.
Amen.
Because the flesh lusts against the Spirit and it's rebellious toward God. It doesn't want. See, you receive that Adam gene. It's in you. He rebelled, and now, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so then death passed upon all men. So don't follow the flesh. Once you get saved, now you've got the Holy Spirit. Now you've got the Word of God. Now you've got assurance. You can follow the Spirit. Quit worrying about thou shalt not. You're not going to do it if you're following the Spirit. Amen. Well, that's good, preacher. I like that. Somebody write that down somewhere. I like that. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Here they are. Adultery. I don't have to explain what all these things are. You're adults. Adultery. Look at this one. Fornication. Adultery is marriage. Fornication is outside of marriage. See? Now, uncleanness. Now he's talking about sexual sins. That's uncleanness would be all those thou shalt not, you know, would you? Man and man and woman and woman. Lasciviousness, we call it loose living. Just going, now they call it, I forget the word they use. Anyway, it means they just go with different people all the time. So, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, now they call that partying, and such like. Now look what he says. Of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. Now, he said they're manifest. If my life or your life is manifesting or showing forth these things, you're not saved. Well, you're judging me, preacher. Now, I'm not judging you. I don't know your heart. I just know my heart. I didn't say that you never sinned. I didn't say that you didn't fall into something. I didn't say that you were tempted and fail. I said if your lifestyle is these things, you're not saved.
Amen.
Now, Christians fall. Christians make mistakes. Christians are misled. David was. Samson was. Great men of God in the Bible were, but it wasn't their lifestyle. It was a failure or a fall that they got up from and went on. But somebody's sitting around drunk all the time, you can't tell me you're saved. You wouldn't need it. You wouldn't need it. Drugs, drunkenness, drugs, all that stuff. By the way, these are things that if you get to looking at it as a Christian, I can look back on my past life and see almost every one of these things in my life. Yeah. And don't say you can't. Because if you, Jesus said, if you thought it, you did it.
That's right.
Amen. I sincerely believe that a lot of people never got into a lot of things that they would have gotten into by the grace of God. He didn't let them have the opportunity to do it. If they'd had the opportunity, they'd done it too. Y'all talk about these kids. Y'all listening to me, Blake? They talk about these kids shooting each other and all that stuff. You want to know why you didn't shoot somebody? The opportunity never arrived. You didn't have the gun. There probably would have been times that some of you might have shot somebody yourself. Not me. I run. I didn't fight. I run. I didn't fight. That never was on my bill. Amen. I wanted to live. I saw so many that didn't. Alright, now look at verse 22. But, now when there's a but there in the Bible, I want you to stop and find out what it's there for. Now he's named all the things of the flesh. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now here we go. Not the fruit, not your fruit. Listen to me. This ain't you, it's Him living in you that comes out. If you get around somebody long enough, the real fruit will come out. They might talk real good at church, but let's see how they're doing down there on the job or at schoolhouse or with their wife or husband. Don't get quiet now. I'm just trying to teach you something, okay? Okay, now he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And what does that last line say? Now, you're not going to be condemned for those. People say, well, y'all just always condemning me. I won't condemn you if you love people. I won't condemn you if you got the joy of the Lord. I won't condemn you if you got patience and long-suffering toward other people. But you go around and act like the meanest guy in town and then go down to church and pray the longest prayer or give the most money or join the most committees or clubs or whatever. I don't care what you do. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh sooner or later. That's what Jesus said. I used to work with a man and he claimed to be a Christian. By the way, he claimed to be a Christian before I got saved and worked with him, and he never told me he was a Christian until after I got saved and started talking about it. He'd go on a cussing rant. And then he'd look at me, young Christian, he'd say, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot you were listening. I said, don't worry about me. I'm not the one that's listening. There's an angel writing down everything you say. And one day you're going to give account of every idle word spoken. It ain't going to be me that does the judging. I've done some cussing myself before I got saved. Who was it? Somebody in church one day told me to go visit their husband and said, "Now I'm going to warn you, if you go see him, he's probably going to cuss you out." I said, "That don't hurt. I've been cussed out a lot in my lifetime." Amen. I said, "If you hung around with the people I hung around with, you'd have got cussed every day." I said, "Cussing don't hurt me. Done a little bit of it myself before I got saved, but he took it away from me. And I'll let him cuss me, but when he gets through, I'm going to tell him what I want to tell him." Amen. And so, all this stuff comes out of the Spirit of God in you, gives you love like Jesus loves, gives you joy because you know you're going to heaven, your sins are forgiven, giving you peace because you know that you don't have to give account anymore, makes you long-suffering toward other people because God was long, and others were long-suffering toward you. I can't stand to see a hypocrite that jumps on people for every little old thing and people's treated them kind and was long-suffering with them. Amen? God's going to give them a double judgment. He says that the Spirit is long-suffering and goodness. Goodness. You know, the Spirit of God does good things. It never hurts people. He only does good things. And if you never do anything good for anybody else, I'm afraid He don't live in you. I told you about that little girl, 14 years old, told me she was homeless, living in a homeless shelter, and her mom and daddy kicked her out and all this stuff. And I teared up. And I don't think she was a drug addict. I don't think she was giving me a line. I've been around. I grew up with them. I've been around. I know what it looks like. And she wasn't. She was sincerely looking for a job. Broke my heart, man. I couldn't help but give her some money. I couldn't do nothing else for her. You know, I couldn't take her home. But it made me want to find a place for her, you know. But if that ain't in you, there's something wrong with you. Now, see an able-bodied man with a sign standing up there at Walmart, and I've already seen six help wanted signs going down the road, and he's standing up there and got his little kids and his wife begging for him. He's a big old strappy man. I don't have much good to say to that man. I don't. What I want to do is go over there and say, "You sorry, low-down bum. You're putting your family through this. Go over and get you a job. They want somebody to cut grass." Well, I remember when I first got married, I lost it back in the 80s. I started getting laid off a lot. Everywhere I'd work, I was a young man getting laid off. And I'd get on unemployment, Brother Ron. And I felt so low-down getting unemployment. I know I paid into it, but I wanted to work. And somebody would come along and say, "Well, I'll give you a job," and the money would be less starting off than what I was getting unemployment. I'd take it. I took many of them like that. I'd take the job even though it paid less than unemployment because I knew there was an opportunity, and I always worked my way up everywhere I ever went. And I knew I could work my way up, make more money, and have benefits. I might come out on short for, you know, a month or two, but I knew in the end I was going to win. But I don't have much good. God doesn't have much good to say to a man like that. Bible says, "Man don't work, he ought not eat." Right. If you don't support his family, he's worse than a heathen. Don't tell me you're a Christian, you won't do that. I picked up cans to sell them to buy gas to hunt. Don't you tell me, amen. Well, I'll never forget. I was picking up cans one time. I was going up to Arrowwood Industrial Park. I had that 1970, I think it was a 78. Cutlass automobile. My mother-in-law gave it to us. It wore slap out. Y'all remember they had doors that long. And the hinges done wore out. You'd have to pick the thing up and slam it about 4 times. Sometimes door come up and going down the road. And I done sanded the rust off and put gray primer on it. And it was Carolina blue. And it looked like a gray and blue cloud coming down the road and driving. You'd have to fill it up with oil and check the gas. And I remember I pulled over. Some of y'all slow. I knew you'd catch on that point, don't we? Y'all pray for them. But I had my bag. Now, hey, look, 20-something-year-old boy, it's embarrassing to pick up cans. I thought these people were going to think I'm some kind of bum or wino or something. But I got to get some gas. I got to have a job. I'd map me out before I'd leave every day. My wife would pack me a lunch and I'd put it in the car and I'd map out the way that I could go, that I thought I could pick up a bunch of cans that morning so I'd go sell them and then get gas to hunt for a job after lunch. And boy, I'm going down through there and the dew's still on the ground. And it looked like one of those birds where you done put out crumbs, you know. And I'm going down through there getting them cans on the side road, and they led over to a little dirt thing. And I'm picking them up, and I looked up. There's a big transformer, electrical transformer. Somebody had been in there drinking a lot of beer. Man, I got me a big old bag of cans, and I looked over there in the weeds, and there's a six-pack of 16-ounce slips. Devil led me over. He put those crumbs up through there. And the old devil said to me, said, "You know what? You don't deserve this. You deserve better than this. Why don't you just get that beer and drink it and go back to what you used to be?" And I went over there and I, you know how you do. I kind of handled it a little bit, you know. And there were six of them. And I popped the top of one. I took a big old drink and I swallowed it. And the Holy Spirit said, "That ain't going to do you no good. I'm the only one going to help you." So I poured it out and I put it in the bag. I took the other five home. And I was excited. I jumped out of the car with that five in my hand. I told my wife, "Look what I found. Look what I found." She said, "Her eyes got about that big." "No, no, no." I said, "Don't worry. I ain't going to drink it. I got the victory." I went there and popped them, poured them all down the sink. Yes, he is. He'll give you that. Hey, I had that peace. I had the joy. I had the love. The goodness was in me. The faith was in me. Verse 23, the meekness, the temperance. I tell you what, Brother Ron, before we got saved, there's some people couldn't say some things they can say to us now. God put some meekness in us. Amen? Well, I tell you what, I wasn't ever a big strappy fellow, but I had a tongue that would cut you all to pieces. If I didn't know the words, I'd make some up. I'd embarrass you. I embarrassed big old men. Big old young strappy men would try to hurt my feelings and stuff. And I'd embarrass them in front of a gang of people. They just kind of slouched off, you know. And they became my friends. But meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, look at this, have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust and lust. You know what we did that day we got saved? We nailed it to the cross. I didn't know nothing about the cross, brother. I was biblically ignorant. I just knew I was going to hell and I didn't want to go. And I knew I wasn't doing a good job living either. And boy, I was so convicted. I didn't know. I know the preacher said Jesus died on the cross to save me from my sins, but I didn't really know what that meant. I didn't know what that meant. I just knew I needed a Savior. And I was going to go to hell. I knew if there was a hell, I was a prime candidate. And I walked down there and I asked the Lord, before I ever even got down there, the burdens were falling off. I was crying. Sixth pew, left-hand side, Eastside Baptist Church, 1215, 300th verse of "Just As I Am." And boy, I'm going down through there and I'm weeping, I'm crying, I'm embarrassed. My feelings are hurt. But the guilt is just disappearing. As I'm going and I'm crying and boy, the weight's falling off and the guilt falling off. And I hugged that old preacher. I said, "Preacher, I got to get saved." He said, "He desires to save you." He said, "Boy, we've been praying for you for 3 years." I said, "Well, I didn't even know anybody prayed for me." And you know what I did that day? I didn't know the song. I didn't know the song. But you know what it did? I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. We never sang that song, but now that I look back on it, that's the song I was singing in my heart. No turning back. No turning back. See, once you nail it to the cross, it's going to die. You can't go back and get it. You know what? If we'd walk in the Spirit like we ought to, we'd be a lot happier people. You see, what we do, we go back and we dig up these dead things. Hatred, variance, lust, lasciviousness. It was killed, nailed to the cross, and we unnail it and try to throw it back on. And this live body that's been regenerated, this live spirit says, man, that makes me sick. That ain't me. That makes me sick. And I don't want to do that, see. And we should have left it buried when we buried it. Amen. There's so many defeated Christians who started out walking in the spirit who ended up back walking in the flesh, and they are miserable and they're unhappy. You know why? The Spirit of God in you wants to please God.
Yes.
And His Spirit talks to your spirit and wants you to please God. And your spirit's agreeing with that spirit because your spirit was dead and it got regenerated by His Spirit, and now you really want to please God. But you've been deceived and you get sidetracked picking up those cans. You was doing a good thing. You just followed the wrong path and you run into something or somebody you shouldn't have run into, and instead of saying, no, that's dead, I don't want that, you popped the top and drank it. And you didn't claim the victory you had. You drank the next one and the next one. I'm not just talking about beer. I'm talking about lust, adultery, fornication. And now, all that stuff's loading down that live spirit trying to kill it again. There's a lot of people out of the will of God like that. That's why they're on drugs. They're not happy. You ain't never really met anybody happy, drunk, or on drugs. There ain't nothing worse than a crying drug addict or a drunk Christian out of the will of God. There ain't nothing worse than a man or woman that keeps switching partners trying to find that person that's going to satisfy them when they found him at the cross.
Amen.
They just need to go back home. They need to do like the prodigal son. Just wake up and say, I need to get back in spirit. I'm walking back to my home. And see, that boy got back in spirit that day. He left the flesh. Old flesh said it's going to be fun, but it didn't turn out fun. And then he turned around, walked back in the spirit, back home. His father didn't chastise him. Matter of fact, the Bible says every day he'd go out there and he'd look for him. Every day he'd go look for him. And if you go read it, it says that the father ran to meet the son and fell on his neck and kissed him. He thought his dad was going to fuss at him. He said, I'll just be one of the servants. He said, you ain't going to be my servant. You're my son. You're not eating with the pigs down here. You're eating with the king down here. Hey, kill that fatted calf. Let's have a party. My boy was dead. Now he's alive. He was lost and now he's found. But see, somehow Christians get this idea from lost people who know nothing about the Bible, who know nothing about faith. They get this idea and they get information and they get counseling from people who know nothing about God that says, boy, if you go down there, they're going to judge you. No, we don't do that. We love you. We want to help you. We don't judge you. Hey, except by the grace of God, there go I.
Amen.
I grew up with some of the worst stuff you'd ever imagine. And God, hey, it's just by the grace of God, I'm not dead. Many friends are. Shooting, stabbing, overdosing, car wrecks. Just by the grace of God. The few I got left are alcoholics and drug addicts. A few friends. He said, if you'll walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But I like it. I like it. He says in verse 25, and if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Don't stop there, though. Go to that next chapter, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill, there it is, there's that word again, law of Christ. Now what the law of Christ is, that you love one another. Now that's the fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the spirit. That's walking in the flesh and walking in the spirit. And you say, well, preacher, I was walking in the spirit. I fell down. Well, come back home. We'll help you get up. We'll be there. We'll help you get up. We're not going to beat you up. You got, hey, you're already getting beat up and up by yourself and the world, the flesh, and the devil. We don't have to beat them up. I think if Christians would just follow the law of Christ and love one another like Christ loved us, we'd have to grow in this church in this town.
Yeah.
I know, Brother Dan, I pick at people, I know that, but I wouldn't pick at you if I didn't love you. And I know, Brother Ron, I joke at you a lot, but many a truth is said in jest. And one fellow came here one day, he said, "Brother Ron, you're the only preacher I know can preach me, skin me up one side and skin me down the other and then make me laugh." That's called love. I look at my grandkids sometime, they'll be doing something stupid. I say, "Boy, that's got to be the dumbest thing I've ever seen a kid do." So I'm going to be here when you need me, okay? Greer can't swim a lick. They put floaties on him. He takes them off, throws them away. He runs across my deck. He's 2.5 feet tall. The water's 4 foot deep. Straight to the bottom. I reach down and pull him up. I said, "Boy, you can't swim." "I can, Papa." I said, "Okay." And then when you think he's going to die, I pull him back up. Look, we don't hate you. We don't hate you because you fall. We fall.
Thank you, Lord.
We don't hate you because you fail. We fail. But we're trying to walk in the Spirit. And if we're going to walk in the Spirit, we have to walk with other people who are walking in the Spirit.
Amen. Right.
Now, we can love everybody, but we can't walk with everybody. How can two walk together except they be agreed?
Right.
I'm not going to walk with people that's living wrong. I'm not hanging around them. I'm not going to hang out at their house. I'm not going to their birthday party. I love them to death. I'll do anything I can to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. But I'm going to walk in the Spirit. And if you're not walking in the Spirit, we're walking two different ways.
Amen.
And I love you, but I'm not changing my direction.
Amen.
Yeah. And later on, you can come back and join me. Because you're going to find out it ain't too great walking in the flesh. That's my sermon. That's what the Bible says. Let's stand.